Hi folks, and thanks for listening to this Tortoise Shack podcast. You know what I'm about to say, but please hear me out. The Tortoise Shack relies entirely on you to pay it forward and keep it free for everyone. The couple of quid you throw us carves out that bit of space we need to be able to continue to have conversations like the one you're about to listen to. It's really simple. All you got to do is click the link that's at the top of the podcast you're listening to right now. It says patreon.com/tortoiseshack. Have a look around and see if there's a level that suits your budget. It's not a one-way street. You get a ton of additional content, including podcasts in the last couple of days with Fred Logue on the government's planning and development bill, which has generously been described as anti-democratic, and that's saying something. There's also a great chat with our friend and co-host of Shrapnel, Sam McElwain, that's there right now. And Rory sat down with economist Kieran Nugent to talk about the generation inequality wealth gap, and no doubt is contributing to large parts of the friction in our society. And that's just the last 36 hours. So one more time, patreon.com/tortoiseshack. I'm shutting up now. Enjoy the show. Hi folks, and welcome to Reboot Republic. These are a couple of conversations that Rory had. I know I was there, but I was only there really in the capacity of pressing record and looking after the mixing desk. But these are a couple of conversations that Rory had in Mendicity, the Dublin's oldest charity. It was great to go and visit. Thank you to Louisa for setting it up, and thank you to the people who engaged with us. Obviously, you'll understand that we want to be careful of people who are experiencing the trauma of homelessness, but the services that people come into Mendicity was amazing to see. It looked like community, and it felt like community, and it did feel uplifting to be there and see the warmth that the volunteers, the activists, and indeed the people who come in and out just to get a bit of food, a cup of soup, and have a chat amongst themselves, charge their devices. It's brilliant work, and I can't tell you how much I'd recommend you support them. The link for that is in this podcast, so if you can click that link and throw a few bob to Mendicity, it's really, really appreciated. They do wonderful work. We have a couple of other conversations from that day. I will put them all together into one podcast, but I did want to get just these couple of sort of tasters out to you guys first. So give it a listen, and do consider clicking that link. Thanks again. Thanks to Louisa. Thanks to the staff and the volunteers of Mendicity. It makes all the difference to the people who come in and out your doors, and it was wonderful for us to go in and be able to have a chat with you all.
Louisa, we're here at your service in Mendicity, which is, I have to say, I'm delighted. Myself and Tony are here visiting you, long promised, but between COVID and everything, we never got down, but here we are.
It's great to get you out in the field, though, to see what things really look like.
It is.
Yeah. I am a lot smaller. Yeah, no, people never say, oh, you're smaller than I expected. Yeah, no, you're tiny. It packs the punch, though.
Yeah, absolutely. That's it. Listen, we're here and we're in the service. There's lots of people here. You're giving them breakfast. People are, you know, at the tables. We met one of the guys who work here, George, who was going to chat to us in a little while. He was showing us his art. Very impressive. What strikes me straight away is actually a sense of calm and a sense of welcoming. And we know most people here are homeless, probably stayed somewhere last night on the streets or somewhere.
Everybody here is homeless. That is, you know, one thing that you can say unequivocally. That certainly there is a sense of calm. There is a sense of community.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can see from the moment you arrive on Island Street, the door is always open, and the doors are always open physically, you know, and figuratively for the group that come here all the time. And it does, in a way, you know, it actually creates a better environment than having a closed door service. So people feel that this is a place that they have a sense of ownership of and a sense of community with.
Yeah, no, it's really, I have to say, I was saying it to Tony, the reality hits me, you know. You see the reality of people who are living this, you know, living homelessness. And we hear all the things talked about in the media and talked about, you know, people coming from different countries. And when you're here, you just see the reality of humanity in everyone.
Absolutely.
And what fills me, like, the anger of going, why, like, you're doing an amazing thing, an incredible thing, but the anger at a society, this is what we do to people. in terms of just...
I really want to bring this down to a level that is completely tangible for everybody, and so that there is a match with the lived experience, because truly, I think far too much relies on very high level policy, very high level, you know, narrative, very high level statistics, whereas actually there is behind each single number, there is a real person.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's our experience of it every day. So community, and it's a strong community. I mean, you can see, obviously, for people who are listening, they can't sort of see the physical environment here, and that it is mostly men that are attending here. That's not, you know, because any other group are excluded. That's because single men are the worst catered for in terms of any policy, housing policy, emergency accommodation policy, that they're the offering for them is the least fair, really. So that's where they come here, and they can spend time here during the day. We don't restrict the amount of time that somebody can spend here during the day. So somebody can come in the morning and be here until we close. They come in to use the Wi-Fi, to charge their phones, to eat, obviously. And if anybody can hear, we have the TV going in the background. So, you know, there's an ongoing entertainment. I know, yeah. You're just looking over my shoulder, Rory, the whole time. It's good. Yeah, stop. Don't talk. So, yeah, it's to have that environment that where people can be at ease.
Mm. And in so you're open until what time then?
We will be open up until from 4:30 as our core hours, 8:30 to 4:30, but we can extend that up to 6:30 if there are people here that need us.
Yeah. And so just I have one question. When you mentioned that predominantly single males, must piss you off then when you continuously hear that, you know, the political excuse for why homelessness is coming up is laid firmly always at the floor, at the door, I should say, of the men who don't have doors to walk through.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, and single men have always been the majority cohort here. Up to 97-98% of the people that use our service are single person households and male.
Yeah, no, I just find it because it's always this answer to, you know, when the politically they'll say that the reasons for homelessness are complex. And
homelessness are not complex. I mean, I've said this, you know, at every opportunity, the reasons for homelessness are predominantly a lack of housing.
Yeah.
So that is the absolute opposite of complex. It's in fact the essence of simplicity. And I think that this is back to a culture of blaming people for their circumstance.
Yeah.
You know, these people narrative, these people is not something that we subscribe to here. I think that, you know, if we had enough houses, the people that are sitting in this room with me today would be at home.
It's so true. And I think, you know, all the discussion around, you know, homelessness, and we've hear it, and it's so frustrating every time, you know, the Minister for Housing, you know, Leo Varadkar would say, as Tony said, it's complex, and, you know, people are, you know, have mental health, you know, addiction. And as you were saying earlier, you know, mental health and addiction is worsened by being in homelessness. And if you had a stable home, you know, there are some people who wouldn't have, you know, those mental health issues to the extent they do, or the addiction, you know, and the research shows that the longer you're in homelessness, the worse, of course, it has impact on your mental health. So we see these people then as, oh, they have a mental health issue. Yeah. They have an addiction issue. Mm. Not that actually
they have a housing issue.
They have
a housing issue, which exacerbates a lot of other issues.
Creating.
Yeah. You know? No, I mean, I completely agree with that. And I think that that's a really convenient excuse for government departments, one after the other, to say that people who are homeless may have a mental health issue or may have an addiction issue. Yeah, people who are not homeless have all the same issues and face the same issues. I mean, one of the things that...
Put me on the streets for 24 hours and watch me fall apart.
Give me a week in a hostel and I can tell you now that, you know, the issues that I have today would be different.
Yeah.
I mean, the excuse to say as well that, you know, people have complex needs. This is often used, people have complex needs. I think I had said to you before, I have complex needs. It's where these needs are being met.
Yeah.
And I think at the moment, humans have complex needs. All of us are complicated creatures, but housing is the essence of simplicity.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, Louisa, we're going to talk to some people who work in the service here because, as you've explained before, you have people working. It's a social enterprise.
Yep.
And in terms of that model of a social enterprise, how does that work?
The social enterprise, it would be easy to say when people are not homeless anymore, then maybe they could start to work or whatever. But I think we can't put people's lives on hold indefinitely, because for everybody, having a structure to your day, having something that means something, having something that you're proud of,
yeah,
is a really important part of your identity. Yeah. So that's where the social enterprise comes in. We have a social enterprise too that are focused. One is a coffee truck for people.
Yeah, which we saw outside on our way in.
And we'll have to treat you to a coffee.
Very busy out there. Yeah, yeah. I was waiting for the offer, Louisa. Come on.
We don't want to get you too popped up beforehand.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. Get too excited. Tony have to tie me down.
Then we have a woodwork or craft focused social enterprise.
Yes.
So a lot of the people that come here, for a lot of people, English is not their first language. So given that we have what we say is a majority male cohort, maybe not English is their first language for everybody. Working with their hands is something that is something in common.
Yeah, yeah. And we saw George is going to talk to us now.
Very talented,
impressive copper work, beautiful pieces of art out there. Yeah, yeah. Listen, Louisa, thanks so much, and we'll go chat to some people.
Absolutely. Thank you.
George, how are you?
Okay.
Good.
Great. Great.
You're not nervous now?
No.
No.
I need to be nervous.
Nervous, no. You've done lots of interviews.
Lots of, yeah.
Lots, very good. Listen, you work down in Mendicity here, and you were showing us some of your art.
Yes.
The pieces of work you did. What got you, were you always interested in art?
I like art. It's like, I don't know, I can swim in every picture of art. I see more than another people. I don't know. I like to look hours, some pictures.
Yeah.
Some difficult pictures. On every my picture, I work hours and I look at this art lots and lots of times. And always I see what is not perfect to do next time to be perfect. More and more work. This is art.
And did
you spend hours or days to do something nice?
Yeah.
Something beautiful.
Yeah, that's incredible. You do. You spend hours doing these pieces of art and you work with copper.
Every piece is hours, yeah, because copper is hard to push and other things. It's lots of work to do. Put in frame, another thing. You need to learn everything. But after 7 years, quasi eight, it's like, I don't know, to eat something or to drink something for me. Art is my life now, big part of the life. And I don't change another job because I do here art.
When did you start working with the copper? George?
7.5 years ago.
7.5 years ago. And before that, had you done metal work or?
No, so I try here.
Yeah.
And she tell me, you have already something in your hand. You can do straight lines. That mean you can do this job.
Yeah.
And she give me chance to work here and straight away to do Crosscare College, yeah. Art College.
And
I finish.
And you enjoyed it. And
yeah.
And it gave you, as you said, it was like food and drink. It was good for your soul.
Yeah, she helped me with everything. Even I was homeless, helped me with flat, with everything. And thanks to Louisa as well.
And
she
helped me with that. Were you homeless for?
I tell you the truth. Something like 6 years.
6 years. That's a long time.
Long time. But in 6 years, from 6 years, something like 2 years was prison. 4 years, I can say I was on street, yeah.
Okay. And when you say you were homeless for 4 years, where were you? Were you sleeping in a sleeping bag? Were you in hostels?
Lots of different hostels, but sometimes even in tent, yeah.
You slept
park, in different parks, but more in this is big park.
Phoenix Park.
Side court, Phoenix Park, yeah. You have a couple quiet places. Even now I know people who sleep in there. It's not much, it's 1-2, but even now exists people who sleep in there.
Yeah.
And I refuse to go to hostels. It's different people, you know.
Somebody why did you not want to go to the hostels?
Scared about people who take drugs and different things. And one staff tried to explain him something, he always don't want trust, don't, you know, him wait to get some help or cancel flat and park. I know a person like that, Moldavian guy.
And for you, you know, why did you go in a tent and not the hostels?
At that moment I was on drugs. I do lots of incorrect things.
Okay.
Yeah, but
shoplifting and another thing.
Yeah.
Drugs.
But George, when you were using drugs at the time, I'm sure it was this a way of helping with your you know, situation?
When I start here, everything is changed. You know, it was drugs, but it was something like I play this game one time a month. Mm. But this is game. If you stop, you stop forever and don't touch even one time, because you can't stop one time a month, one time a week, and you come back anyway.
Yeah.
Or forever. So, or so never.
So for you, you needed
I
it to be.
I understand. I need to non-touch never.
You needed to stop
just
forever.
Just one option.
There's not.
If you want to live, to do more art, more beautiful
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To
can
touch
I,
anymore
can I ask you this, a personal question? When you were doing drugs, was your health much worse?
Was big problem with hepatitis C, big problem, and she transfer and Delta, but she helped me, give me medication. Now I'm, thanks God.
No, you look healthy. I'm just
yeah, but I come back anyway. She changed body and life, but it's yeah. okay.
So you haven't taken drugs for how many years now?
I tell you the truth. I smoke sometimes weed.
Nothing
else.
Aside from that,
I'm not going to judge you for that.
After work.
After work, yeah, yeah, not here. The service that is here and what Louisa is doing, how important is it?
It's very important because some people, special on Sunday, but this day as well, special Sunday, he don't have where to go. Sometimes come here and talk with me and tell me about, listen, if door was open, I don't even eat today. Or I don't
eat. If this wasn't open, they wouldn't eat.
We have where to eat, where to stay, to look movie, to drink tea when outside raining. It's very important. This place save and change lives anyway.
This place saves and changes lives. That's incredible.
It can change my life, but it's lots of other people who get help here every
yeah.
day.
Yeah. And the stories that they tell you, what are those?
It's different stories. And big part of the people want to change, but somebody's not so sure. Try, just try again and again.
Mm.
Not everyone can do that.
Mm.
I don't know what him don't have an offer to do that, maybe.
Mm.
Believe in God or something like that. You need something more than just I want. And around beside friends who use every day, it's not easy.
Yeah.
But when you talk to people now, do you feel that you're giving back?
Mm. I feel I was like that and I understand very good the situation.
Mm.
Every day I see that. And I know that. For that I never barred here nobody, even when that is possible. I don't do that. I clean, I help and study.
And do you think about, you know, when you were homeless and how you are now, how important is having a home? Like, you know, having somewhere that's stable, that you can be?
Home is very important. Him change again life. I know again another Moldavian guy who can't start normal work because don't have home. All these hostels change, and that changes as well. Especially if you work with big distance, you don't have a driving license. Small problems what change everything.
Mm.
It's very important home for everyone. But even good hostels is important for these people. Somebody don't have even good hostel. Some problem in hostels, people in room who use, and him run from hostel and start this. Don't tell in time to key worker what problem have, don't want to say to nobody, and don't fix nothing and go on street.
Yeah.
That because we need places like that. Him come, talk with one, come with another one, and him have chance to change something, to do what I do, me and other people.
Yeah.
Just like that.
And how do you feel about life now?
It's different life. Much better, much better. And my family is very happy for me.
Yeah.
I do that. Everyone is happy. And around as well, everyone is happy. I help.
this is your community, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now this is my family now.
I can see yeah. the light in your eyes yeah. is really and there's yeah. and a genuine smile there, which is wonderful to see. But I also think it's important that listeners understand that, you know, when you talk about using drugs, when you talk about being homeless, that you feel society maybe.
No, I don't feel bad. I know that was very bad part of the life, but. I know that is in the past, not anymore in the future, because I know what I do now.
I think it's really important people get that message, though,
or,
because it's too easy to write people off.
Yeah, absolutely. And people are
definitely,
judged and,
yeah.
and stigmatized. And, you know, a lot of people and in the media and the news, you know, look at people who are here and they blame them for being, you know, it's their fault and they're just problems, and whereas yeah. they're not. Everyone is a human being who has a value,
and everyone have chance. You need to want that and do.
Say that again.
Everyone have chance to do that. Even yeah. who use drugs or drink. It's not everyone
should have a chance.
Everyone have chance.
Yeah.
But you need to want that and pray, I think, as well.
Okay, very good, very good. But we can all pray in different ways to different gods and all that.
Not important what God, but yes. you need to have here God, because yeah. no God as well is not easy.
Yeah, very good. Well, listen, George.
Not easy to do something, to finish something or to start, special to stop something.
Yeah.
It's much easier with him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, everybody, you know, has, and I think, you know, we all have that side to us, a spiritual side, something that is needs to be not rooted. Me. Not you, except Tony. He's going straight to hell. So
yeah, yeah. everyone have here, everyone have choice. Here is like that in yes. this world.
Yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
have choice to do everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that or not.
Yeah. Well, listen, George, it was lovely, and thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you, lads.
Thank
really
you.
All
it.
The best.
Thanks, George.
As I said, just a quick taster. There are a couple of other conversations coming your way. I will put them out as quickly as I can get the edit and make sure that the people involved are happy enough to do so. Thanks so much to everybody who's listened. Thanks to everybody who supports. If you are a member, please recommend us to someone. And if you're not a member, please join us. Folks, you know how to do this. It's patreon.com/tortoiseshack. It is the only way we keep the conversations going and be able to go out into the community and to talk to the people who are really affected by this housing crisis rather than talk about them or at them. So thanks to Rory for going along. Thanks to Louisa for setting it up. And thank you for all your support. We leave it there. Talk to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.